Guys, make sure you're following us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
It massively helps us out. Enjoy the episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pitch Side.
We're back.
It's not been a hiatus for us, but we've been on holiday.
We have been away. Week. You've been skiing. Yeah. I've been in Dubai. It's been 2 weeks since we last filmed.
Yeah, so for us, it's been a holiday, but for people watching, it's been absolutely regular. And today, we are very lucky to have another podcast owner, Mrs. Els the Witch.
Yeah, I've come repping today, I was just saying. Yeah.
That is really... Where do you get that from? For people who are listening...
City Till I Die.
Oh, it's a city.
It's a Man City pendant.
Man City, yeah.
Pendant, good.
I watched Pirates of the Caribbean the other day, I'm really into my pendants.
So
at the
I never liked Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, for
shall I leave now?
How can you not like... I'm sorry, but Pirates of the Caribbean...
To be fair,
I know this is a football podcast, but bloody hell,
I understand a little bit.
I think it was overrated.
Yeah, I mean, it's good, but I mean, how many have they done now? Like 14?
Five. Maybe four. Like,
it stopped being good when Bill Nighy wasn't... what's the word?
Davy
Jones.
He's in like every single one.
Who, Davy Jones?
Yeah.
Is he?
I don't know. Anyways.
Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, no, I watched it out in Dubai and I was like, I've missed Pirates of the Caribbean. I forgot how good it is.
How have we given that so much airtime?
I don't know.
All right. But
anyways, carry on, sorry.
Yeah, so how's life?
It's good. Been busy.
Super busy.
Yeah. I try. I like being busy though. Because people are like, oh, you're not too busy. No, I like it. And I just started working at Man City, doing the Match Day Live stuff. Dream job, and they've got me doing fun stuff. Like I was on a kids inflatable course, which was at like 8:30 in the morning before
like
the Chelsea
City
game the other week.
Blue Peter.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Yeah,
love that. Printed my own shirt in the store as well, and then I get to go pitch side and chat.
Hey,
pitch side.
See what I did there? Did that on purpose?
So are you a lifelong City fan then?
Not lifelong. So and people in the comments are going to come for me. So I'm originally from Norwich.
Ah, so when City won the league?
No, just left.
That's too easy,
See the agenda. Right, so I'm from Norwich, but I never supported Norwich. Both my parents are season ticket holders.
Oh, that's cool.
When I was younger, my dad used to take me to Norwich games, and I would stand up when the opposition scored to annoy him. He'd get really annoyed, and he eventually just stopped inviting me to the games. But when I was probably at 8 or 9, because I'm from Suffolk, obviously I say Norwich, but like technically it's Suffolk, I used to do Ipswich Town football training, but I was the only girl, and none of the boys would pass me the ball, so I got really annoyed and started pinching everyone, and then I got sent off, and that's kind of where my career
ended.
She
got red carded age like 8.
Yeah, because like I got annoyed. Don't not pass to me because I'm a girl, so I just started pinching people and then got sent off, so I quit. And then I've just been interested in football. Like some of my friends used to play it. My dad's always been really into it. And then I lived in Manchester for 4 years when I went to university. And my area was it was east, southeast Manchester. And around that area, all the pubs were just Man City fans. Yeah. They're literally like, if you're United, don't come in the pub. So I was like, okay, I'll just adopt Man City then. And that's where it took off.
I suppose you sort of had no choice really, isn't it? Like you can't, I know like pubs in Manchester.
Culture.
Yeah. Like if you wear like a United shirt in like a Man City pub, like it's actually like dangerous.
It's very bad.
It is geared out.
Yeah.
It's like remember when Spencer said about...
when he went with Poet.
He went to some pub in like Russia or something, wasn't it?
No.
Where's it? No, Arsenal.
It was in Manchester. You literally have merged two of his stories. he's saying that him and Poet went into a Man United pub or Man City pub before the Manchester Derby, and they came in and they were like, "If you're Man City, we'll break your legs," or something like that.
But
and then he was like, "Oh, we're Arsenal fans." Like, oh, come on!
Like Arsenal just weren't a rival.
For one
at that
day,
point.
Literally. Not our rival.
But so how did the Manchester City presenter
stuff come about?
Yeah.
It was quite recent, actually. So I have been presenting for the Premier League for a show called Uncut that they do on their YouTube for about 2 seasons now, so 2 years, and then I started doing Match of the Day X for BBC Sport. So I've been gradually sort of moving into the football space. And probably about 3 or 4 months ago, they just got in contact via email.
Oh, they asked you?
Yeah, they asked me.
That's
and
really
I,
cool.
I was getting to a point where I was like, they don't like me. Because I've been talking about it.
Yeah.
Because 2 years, like I always used to say, like, I don't support a team. I want to be like...
Impartial.
Impartial, that's the word. And my friend was like, it, you know, it's so much more fun when you support a team. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'll go Man City, obviously, as what I said earlier, because of my the area I used to live in. So since I've adopted them, when I've been on TV or like on podcasts like this, for example, I would mention City, and I was like, they've not invited me to a game. They've not even, they don't like any of my stuff. So I was thinking they hate me. And then they emailed and they were like, we want you to come up and do a few shows
they
for
don't
us.
Hate me. Yeah, they
and I literally said, my manager rang me, I was like, oh my God, they don't hate me. And they did. And then I started at the beginning of December. I did two games, and then I was supposed to do a few games over Christmas, but because of life, they had to allow it.
They're quite open-minded to sort of like the progression of like new age media, aren't they?
City are by far
like Arsenal
in
pretty
the
good
lead.
At it. City are by far.
City were the first ones, I think, to work with like YouTubers.
FaZe Clan.
They've got
an esports team.
Yeah.
One thing I've been blown away with by City is their whole business operation is incredible. So I went for, it wasn't for Man City, it was for the Premier League for this press day where I was interviewing Jack Grealish, and the whole day was like a military operation. Like everyone knows where they need to be and exactly what time. And it's just so smooth. And you can tell that they're very forward thinking, particularly with the esports stuff, with the women's game, getting someone like me who does online stuff to come up.
Yeah.
Who's not necessarily from, like, I don't sound like I'm from Manchester, I'm from the South, but obviously I lived there for 4 years. And I've been so welcomed by all of the City fans. When I was there the other week for the Chelsea game, actually, one of their like diehard fans came up to me. I was in the fan zone, and you can tell like he's a proper Manchester guy. Like he had all the badges on, through and through Man City fan. He came up to me and he was just like, "I just wanted to say your first two games, you've done really well. He's like, you've got big shoes to fill, but you've done really well." And that just validated it completely for me because I was like, if there's like one type of fan I want to please, it's the diehard Man City fans. And I was so happy with that.
That must have been so reassuring as well. Like it could have easily gone like the other way. Like all you need is like one Man City fan to just be stuck in their old ways.
Mm-hmm. And like, who's this girl? She's not even from Manchester. None of the City, every single City fan has been really positive to me.
Brilliant.
But obviously then online you get all the people who aren't Man City fans. But it's fine.
Just block out the noise, really.
It's fine because we're going to win the league. So, you
know. I mean, we can't really argue that.
Again.
Factually correct at this point, really.
Obviously, you're doing a lot of presenting work. What did you do at uni? Like, how did you even come into this role? Did you study media at uni?
No, so I did management, IT and business.
Wow.
So my degree was in IT, basically, more or less. And then I did 4 years because the third year was a year in industry where you go and work for a company. Yeah. And I applied for Microsoft to do their one because obviously they're like really good at IT.
Yeah.
And then I noticed Adidas had an opening for an IT role. And I was like, well, I love sport and I've always loved Adidas. So I applied for it. I got both jobs, but I went for the Adidas one just because it was near Manchester actually. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I don't have to leave and fall out of touch with my friends, but they were also at uni. I wanted to be with them. So I stayed, I worked at Adidas for a year near Manchester doing their database programming, which was really fun. So my background's IT. And then when I graduated, I worked for IBM. So I was doing project management for them. Our clients were banks, and then I just got bored. I think I just realized that it wasn't what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I used to say to my mom, I was like, I don't know what it is, but I just know that I've got something to say, and I didn't know what it was. So I quit my job with no plan. I'd saved
really?
money.
That's quite ballsy.
So I'd saved money because I knew that it's expensive to live in London, and I didn't want to just quit and not have anything to fall back on. My worst fear is failing, and I was very scared that I was going to fail. But then sort of like 4 months after I'd quit my job, I decided to start a YouTube channel because I love gaming, and that's originally what I started doing. I loved gaming, so I started the YouTube channel, and I've been very sort of vocal over my journey. So this was sort of just over 3 years ago, about the fact that I've always loved sport and I've been really brought up around football and sort of that culture, but I'm not like an encyclopedia of football knowledge. And over the past 2-3 years since I've been working within football, I've learned a lot about it and I've really fallen in love with the sport. It's just a journey and I'm really enjoying it so far. I forgot what your original question was, honestly. So
what do you do at uni?
My life story.
In terms of presenting, it's not always been
my plan.
Yeah, the plan, the end goal.
I did the FIFA eWorld Cup in 2018 at the O2. And
yes.
I got asked to do it. And it was 60 seconds on stage. And I said to my manager, I'd never done presenting on stage at all. All I'd done at this point was I had a radio show. So I used to, it was kind of more or less a podcast, but on the radio. So I was good at talking, but never having an earpiece in on stage at the O2 on Sky Sports with however many people watching. And my manager was like, look, you can either tell them that you don't want to do it because you're not experienced, or you can pretend like you know what you're doing and just do it anyway. And he's like, I believe you can do it. So just go for it. So I did it. I was so nervous. I was backstage staring at a wall, just rehearsing my lines over
terrifying.
And over again. Yeah, and if anyone said anything to me, it would throw me off. So I was just literally like staring at a wall. I did it. It went really well. And then there was someone in the audience who was working on the Premier League show Uncut, which I mentioned earlier. And then 2 days later, they emailed and were like, we want you to come down and do a screen test. So I went, did it. Obviously, I said to them, I was like, I don't know if I know enough about football to do this. They were like, look, it's about you as a person and what you're like on camera and how well you communicate with people. So they gave me the job and it went from there, really.
Did the Premier League job give access to the MOTX job then?
Yeah, so I think they must have seen me on the Premier League, and then 5 or 6 months later, then they asked me if I wanted to have a meeting and then start on the show for that. So I did one shoot with Ben Chilwell at Leicester at the time. And then a month later, we went into lockdown. So then it was like 9 months later, where we reconvened the show and carried on. But yeah.
How did lockdown affect you in terms of like work and presenting jobs? Did it affect you at all, really, or not?
I always feel really bad saying it because I know lockdown affected a lot of people negatively. But because everyone was at home gaming and my YouTube channel is a lot of video games, and I had more spare time, I really committed to doing the YouTube. And about a month before, or actually a few weeks before even lockdown, I'd done the Sidemen Tinder video, and then the clip of Stephen Tries calling me Pancake Ass went viral. So my YouTube channel was lifted, like my subscribers went up loads. So I was like, okay, cool, I'm gonna just focus on this for the next sort of 3 or 4 months, which I did. And that worked really well. Like I hit 100,000 subscribers, and that was one of my milestones for that year. And then alongside of that, I did things like eSoccer Aid, and I was carrying on the presenting, but it was obviously all in my flat via Zoom. So I was still able to carry it over. And then when we came, we're not even out of lockdown. Like we come in and out of lockdown, don't we? But I've done loads of stuff in between that. So I definitely noticed when we came out sort of the other end, even of the first or the second lockdown, I would be walking and people were like, oh, Els, like I watch your YouTube or I watch your videos. And I was like, okay, this is weird because I've gone from being in my flat because I live by myself to coming out the other side and people like knowing who I am, which was a bit weird, but yeah, it was cool.
How did you find like the Zoom presenting? Do you like it, prefer it to in person, or
if I have to do one more Zoom interview, I will cry. And it's annoying because sometimes we'll come out of the lockdowns and it's like, yes, we're out the other side, I can start. At the end of 2021, we were going back to football clubs and I was being able to interview footballers again, and now it's gone back to Zoom, and I'm just like, is this going to be a never-ending cycle of going there and then going back to Zoom?
Well, it's like the PlayStation thing that we did.
Yes,
it was supposed to be in person, I think, originally, or whenever
we did the shoot in person, that initial shoot,
and then everything was just like on Zoom for the rest of it.
I feel like Zoom just takes away the whole like building relationships with other people and like with players.
Can't
like,
stare at people in their eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like you can't connect.
No, you can't. But like when you, I've always felt like if you work with a footballer in person, you actually get to know them off camera.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do it over Zoom, everything is just always on camera.
You can't build that rapport.
Like, no, exactly.
One thing I love to do is before I'll interview a footballer, I just have a normal conversation. Like I'll ask them something completely offbeat, or I'll carry on a conversation I was previously having and just join them in, and then they relax, because I think footballers are very used to the media sort of questions. And with, I think with the younger generation like us coming through, it's more casual and we're more like a friend.
Yeah, 100%.
It's more of a conversation, whereas those traditional interviews are more like, we're trying to catch you out, and if you say the wrong thing, then we're going to put it in the media. So my main thing is just making them feel comfortable and letting them know that I'm just like,
do you have a specific icebreaker? that you use?
Not really, but do you know what I love doing is like talking about something like, oh, my favorite packet of crisps or a biscuit or something. Yeah, really, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah, because we all eat biscuits trivial. Or crisps.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love talking about stuff like that. And that breaks the ice because then it's like, okay, we're just going to, there's no pressure.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Just like I could have an everyday conversation.
Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Harry's, the best razors in the game. Now, Reeve, what have Harry's got for our listeners?
So for our listeners and everyone watching, they are offering a travel size shower gel with the trial set.
Thank you. What else I hear you asking is in the travel set, Reeve and McGeevy? Well, let me tell you, sir, you've got the expertly engineered weighted handle, a 5-blade cartridge, which is crafted by artisans in their own German factory, complete with a precision trimmer. And I am very in need of that precision trimmer.
We both are.
They also come with a handy foam shaving gel for obviously the effective lubrication on your face. A travel blade cover, obviously, so you don't cut yourself off, yeah, or break things. And then obviously the free shower gel Reeve has just mentioned. Now, this is perfect for me or perfect for anyone that goes traveling. You know, borders are opening a lot. I'm going traveling with just a backpack. And guess what you can only take on backpack?
A travel size.
Exactly,
set.
Nothing over 100 milliliters.
That's true.
Or it might be 150 these days, I'm not too sure.
So guys, if you want to get involved and get your travel size shower gel with your trial kit, then go to harrys.com/pitchside.
All you got to do is pay $3.95 for delivery. That is harrys.com/pitchside to get your trial set today.
Back to the pod.
But one thing it is frustrating about Zoom. So we interviewed Ruben Dias for the Premier League last season, and obviously Man City had an amazing season. Yeah. For me, I think he's incredible. I think he'll go on to captain Portugal.
He's still only young as well. He's only 23.
And he's been wearing the armbands.
I think he's the centre-back in the Premier League.
By far.
Yeah, unbelievable.
He's incredible. And the way he talks, he's like so mature for his age. He will lead those teams to victory. Yeah. Like he's just very much a team player. But their Wi-Fi was terrible. Man City's Wi-Fi was not good.
He was at like the ground or something.
He was in the training centre, and the Wi-Fi kept cutting out. And it was, if that hadn't have happened, and I would have been with him in person, that would have been the best interview that we'd had.
Really?
They still made it work, and it is a great interview, but I do say like I would definitely want to interview him again in person, just because I feel like he's got so much to say.
Well, hopefully be at the club for a while.
I find it crazy, like the way he conducts himself.
Yeah,
like I got mates who are 23.
Yeah,
and it's like if you compare them to like Ruben Dias, it's just like, I suppose as a footballer though, you do have to grow up pretty fast because you're thrown into like this industry like age 17, 18.
At elite level.
Yeah, 100%. But I always find like, you know, you were talking about like footballers having like their guard up, so to speak, during the interviews. I do find like the younger generation of the footballer, like the Mounts, the Rices, like the Conor Gallaghers, they are now a lot more, they have their guard down a little bit less.
Yeah.
Like they're not as robotic as like a lot of the older footballers are at the moment.
We're really just trying to swing getting Mount and Rice on here.
Yeah, we really
I was, when you said that, I was about to say Mason Mount is one of the nicest footballers I've met. Yeah. I did a shoot for Call of Duty with him before Christmas. It was me, Chunks and Mason, and he's just so lovely. Like, he's just so normal. We were just chatting. Yeah. Obviously, everyone's normal. It feels weird to say that, but no, he's so nice. Lovely guy.
They are just guys that are just incredibly talented at football, aren't they?
Oh, literally, they're just like normal geezers, but they're like the thing is, but in particular, Rice and Mount is
on, tell them for you.
They are so fucking good. Like, I'm not joking. Like, what was there was a stat about Rice that just came out.
Yeah, so we were speaking about it before we started the podcast, that Rice has the highest carry meters out of any player in the top five.
Like so dribbling the ball.
Yeah, as in like progressive distance carry.
And you could notice that during the Euros. If it was in the final and the semi-final, like he would just dribble so far. Mm. For a DM to have that ability, look, I'm such a big fan of this.
He needs to be spoken about more.
Agree.
He was nominated for Team of the Year, right?
I think so.
They both were.
But
yeah,
he didn't make it?
No, Jorginho got it.
I think, exactly. But I think if England win the Euros,
he's going to make it.
Mount swaps with Jorginho.
I agree.
Because they have the same accolades, right, throughout the year.
That's what's so exciting for this World Cup in Qatar in December and November, is that we got the same team as the Euros, which was bloody like last year, except they're all going to be more experienced. They know how to handle the pressure now.
Got the confidence.
Exactly that. Like,
do you not think the heat will play in it a massive impact though?
I really don't think it will. I think.
Have you seen how players are playing at AFCON, like Salah and Mane, look completely different just because of the temperature?
The stadiums are going to be air conned, outdoors, which is mental. Even in Brazil, like, you have water breaks. It's hot. Yes, South Africa, they had water breaks. It was hot. I think as an elite athlete now, and all these footballers are just the elite of the elite athletes, I don't think it'll be affected too bad. I think it'll be all right.
Hopefully.
We'll have to see, though.
Come on, can I just say, December in the UK, watching the World Cup, people get drunk in December anyway because it's Christmas. Yeah. Imagine the carnage.
And it's only a 3-hour time difference. So I think we're behind, but I think that means we're going to get actually really good times.
Yeah, because we'll be watching the games when it's like
early
3
evening.
In the afternoon.
So it could be carnage.
Yeah.
We could have the best Christmas of our lives. Because I think the final's on like the 17th of December, something like
Is
that.
It?
So it starts in like, 18th. I was one day off. I was so close.
Everyone be off for Christmas. Yeah. That's around the time you
Then you get
finish.
A week's holiday and then it's Christmas anyway.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Mate,
come on, the boys.
Do you think it's harder to win the World Cup or the Euros for England?
We've won the World Cup before.
I know,
but... That's a good point.
But
it was a long time ago.
But if you look at the teams in the World Cup in Qatar compared to the teams in the Euros, do you think it's harder for, say, England to win the World Cup or the Euros? Because I'd say, on paper, you go, World Cup. But if you actually look at the teams, is it easier to win the World Cup than the Euros?
I think it's easier to get through in the World Cup. I don't know if it's easy to win the World Cup. I think if getting through a group stage in the Euros is quite tough because generally, a lot of the teams are quite highly ranked in FIFA ratings.
Yep.
FIFA rankings, not as in on
FIFA. I was going to say.
FIFA rating. They're all 86 in the
Yeah, FIFA are going to come at us again, but... But no, you get teams like Panama in your group at the World Cup, whereas in the group in the Euros, it's I can't remember.
Sweden.
Yeah, was it?
No. I think there's Croatia. More variables with the World Cup, though, because, as you said, there's teams that we may not have played necessarily before.
That's
whereas
true
the Euros
well.
Is we know most of these teams. Yeah. We know how they play. There's more stuff to analyse, I think, for Southgate anyway.
It's a very logical answer, which I didn't think
I feel the World Cup, the only real, massive I was gonna get crucified for this, but I feel like the only real massive additions who are outside of the Euros who will put up a fight against like of England, who are one of the best teams in the world, which is quite cool to say, are Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay. Realistically, who else? Who else could really push for the World Cup title?
African teams?
Really though?
I'm just putting it out.
We'll see who wins AFCON, won't we?
Yeah, it's true. I don't know, to give you a straight
answer. Well, either way, it's going to be very, very exciting.
I think it's going to be exciting, and I was doing all the hosting at Box Park for the Euros.
What was that like?
Box Park, Croydon. I was talking about it the other day, and the game where we beat Germany, the best, one of the best nights
you
of my life.
You went viral, right?
Yes.
Was it from that game?
It was, no, the
game?
Atomic Kit. A few of them we went viral. I can't remember which one it was. It was my photo. And I had the England flag.
You know that photo's in Times.
It went in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why am I in the Wall Street Journal?
It's officially one of the best photos of 2021.
Yeah.
How have I not seen this photo?
It's famous.
I think I'll show you on
global.
My Instagram. And I was on all of these, the world news, BBC World News.
Have you not seen it?
No.
It's basically because I wore a t-shirt with the England flag and then I put England flags on my cheeks. And then since then, I noticed so many people were doing the same thing. When I walked into Box Park for the next game, all the photographers came up to me because they'd obviously seen that photo had gone and they wanted their photo to go viral.
Their
so I was doing a full photo shoot in the middle of Box Park. It was hilarious.
Sure, absolutely lit. When England score, when Müller missed that one on Pickford.
So it's this one.
Oh, that's so sick.
And I think I did loads of carousels of things that it was in. Just me with my flag.
So were you there as a fan or were you presenting there?
So I was working and I think people obviously were just England fan. I was getting annoyed. I was no, I was working. Say she's a presenter, then I get more jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I was doing the hosting. So that game, we had Atomic Kitten come and perform and they were doing the
Southgate,
I've seen that video, I've seen that.
And then that went viral and then they released it as a single because England kept getting through. So, and we had Barry from EastEnders who did Sweet Caroline and that was really fun. Just the whole atmosphere. So when we beat Germany, the whole of Box Park turned into a mosh pit because everyone was just celebrating. A guy slid across two tables next to me.
He was probably smooth sailing with all the beer over the table. Just makes it easy.
Did you see that one? I think it was the Scotland game early on. And where, you know, when everyone was just drunk for the whole day.
Yeah.
And there was a video of someone topless just sliding across the pavement.
In Leicester Square.
In Leicester Square. He literally just like slid because it was raining that
day. Do you not remember that? It was like a viral video of, because it was absolutely bucketing down.
Yeah,
and the guy just slides like 20, 30 metres on the floor in Leicester Square.
Shirtless. So,
we were like underneath some canopy or something on Cal's roof, weren't we?
Was that the Scotland game?
For Scotland. I remember
was the Scotland game the first one?
The Scotland game was
like,
you're right. Yeah, it wasn't a good game.
It was really boring.
It was a Friday night as well, so it was all hyped up.
Scotland game, we were at Josh's underground.
Are you sure?
Playing snooker.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was 0-0, wasn't it? And John Stones hit the post with a header.
Yes. And where are you for the final?
I was at Box Park. I think I even probably could have gone to Wembley, which I know people in the comments might hate me for this, but then they asked me to work at Box Park.
Yeah.
And just because I've been there the whole time, I feel like there was like a family of people who were like all in it together. So I went to Box Park for the final. It was really great. And then do you know what it was? As soon as in my head, I knew we were going to penalties. In my head, I'd registered that we wouldn't win just because I know what England are like with penalties. But there was one penalty, and I can't remember which one it was, where we got the upper hand, and I was like, oh my God.
It was, what was
someone
his name?
Missed. Was it Jorginho? Did he? No, he must.
Jorginho
did he miss?
Didn't. He missed
it was when he missed.
It wasn't the first
one to be Jorginho, missed. When Pickford saved Jorginho's penalty, that was like to keep us in it.
Yeah,
so
no,
Jorginho
was,
had to score to win for Italy.
I can't remember who
and Pickford
was.
Saved it. We're like, oh my God, this is it.
There was one glimmer of hope, and I was like, this could happen.
Yeah.
And then obviously it didn't.
So sad, isn't it?
And it was very sad.
I think it might have been Belotti. I think he missed like in second or third.
Yeah,
we were actually up in the shootout, weren't we? And then we missed like three in a row.
I remember when that Luke Shaw goal went in after 3 minutes, and we all like looked at each other, didn't we? Because we all sat next to each other.
I wasn't there for that one.
Oh,
but yeah,
we all looked at each other.
When that went in,
it was like shock,
too early. Yeah,
it was too early.
This is too good to be true. Now we've got to hold out for the rest of
literally
the
literally like 90 minutes of just holding
I'm
out.
Pretty sure
1-0 lead.
Everybody watching that game was like, "We've scored too early."
No, this I was like, right. "Oh my God, wait, we're winning in a final."
Yeah, it's different.
I know,
though,
I was I'm too skeptical, but my friends who like all my girlfriends, they started coming as well because they were into it. You know how people who don't normally, they were proper into it. And they were like, oh my God, we're going to win.
Oh, they were at Box Park with you?
Yeah, they started coming because I could bring some friends. So they all started coming. My friend, she actually made her own top, which is like all the Grealish letters on back and stuff. She like was proper into it. So they were like, oh my God, we're going to win. Like, we're 1-0 up. And I was like, guys, we've scored too early. Now we need to, now that Italy are going to be on us for the rest of the game. So I was nervous. They were excited. And then obviously...
It backfired. I wonder what this World Cup's going to... Do you reckon this World Cup's going to have the same atmosphere? Or do you think because of the fact the Euros... Like, we actually got quite lucky. Like, the majority of the games were at, like, Wembley. Like, a lot of other teams had to travel all over Europe. Yeah. We got quite lucky.
I think it's going to be the same atmosphere. I was going to say as well, in the... Normally it would be in the summer, right? This summer is the women's Euros. And I think because of the Euros last summer, it's going to be the same because it's like, we're not going to have... we'll have the women's football. Yeah. There's still the World Cup to look forward to. So I think it's going to be fun.
I went to the Women's World Cup final between USA and England in 2018.
Was that Rapinoe's winner?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I was gutted. Because obviously, with USA and women's football, USA are just the dominant force in world
Ridiculous.
Football.
Yeah.
And like, we were playing so well. And I think we lost like 2-0. But the atmosphere was incredible.
Yeah.
It felt like it was much more of a family atmosphere at the World Cup final, but it was sick. Yeah. I loved every second of it.
I'm excited for the Euros. England, the Lionesses have been playing amazing. Yeah. Have you seen their scores? They're doing like 10-0.
Didn't they beat someone like 21?
Oh, yes.
21-0, something like that?
What country was
it? I can't remember what country it was. But it was like over 20 goals.
Yeah,
I remember watching it because I turned it on and I'd just flown back from Bangkok. So I landed at 7 in the morning and I was trying everything in my power to stay awake. And the game was on at sort of 7 p.m. So I put the first half on and I fell asleep watching it because I was too tired. But the point I fell asleep, we were 7-0 up within sort of 20 minutes, or 25 minutes. And I was like, this is outrageous.
Who argued this? I remember hearing it might have been like Roy Keane or something. It was like,
Just in case it's not Roy Keane, we'll say
it we'll say it's Roy Keane. Why not? Like, there are some matches in, like, I think it's talking about, like, international friendlies or, like, the Nations League, where it's like for example, like, England versus San Marino.
I knew you were going to say
it's
that.
Like, what? Who does that benefit?
San Marino.
But does it?
But the players get to know that they
they get to play against some of the best footballers in the world. Imagine you.
But they get smashed 10-0 every time.
Yeah, but they still get to play.
Experience. Yeah,
all right, well.
Do you know what I mean?
I think it's just different perspective.
He was arguing the case of, why are these games happening?
Here's a question. Did you enjoy the Wembley Cup?
Oh, that's different.
It's not different. It's an opportunity to fulfil a dream.
It's a charity match.
Yeah, but you're not playing for anything. It doesn't mean anything.
I guess so. Anyway, I don't shoot the messenger.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying.
I was just saying what Roy Keane 100% said.
Officially confirmed.
Yeah. Before we move on, though, William Hill have asked us to discuss, obviously, the January transfer talk. Transfer window. There's a lot going on right now. Newcastle, obviously, doing their business. I've just seen a rumour of, I might have bidded for him. What's his face? Dele Alli. Potentially going to Newcastle.
Where are you reading this?
I saw it on Sport Bible.
BakerRumours.com.
I'm going to check this on Google.
I don't. Sure. Yeah.
No, can Dele we find it to Newcastle?
Finally, someone's fact checking your stuff.
Someone said that could actually be a good revival for his career.
Potentially.
Okay, so the Daily Mail is the first one. should we go with that one? Or? There's a few. So basically, Newcastle are eyeing up potentially.
I think that'd be a really good one.
I know the rest of Lingard, but Lingard was not really keen on coming.
They've given us
terms.
They're
not far away, Lingard and Dele Alli, are they?
Similar styles of play, aren't they? I think Dele Alli at Newcastle would be a quality signing, but they've asked us to answer a few questions.
Okay.
So, which team do you think so far has had the best
Aston Villa
transfer window?
Thank you. Do I get a prize for that? Or?
Why?
Oh, think about who they've recruited. They've got rid of Grealish for £100 million, and they've strengthened pretty much every single position in the team that they needed to.
Mm-hmm. Well, they brought in Coutinho and Luca Dean in January.
Exactly.
And Coutinho started off with an assist and a goal.
Coutinho got a goal in his first game, and Digne got a goal, an assist in his
first
game.
Do you think that Steven Gerrard at the helm is helping to bring in the calibre of player?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Do you know what I respect about them, right? So, you know, when Grealish moved to City and they put out that video basically explaining the move, I think that's one of the cleverest things.
Yeah.
Firstly, it's respectful to the fans because they're explaining the whole thought process behind it. And correct me if I'm wrong, I've not really seen a club do that. And it made me really respect them as a business. Because it's like, yes, we've got rid of our key player, but this is why, and this is what we're going to do. And they have followed up with that. So
I think a lot of clubs could take away from that, just being open with the fans.
Transparency.
Exactly that.
Definitely.
And we saw that with the bloody Super League, didn't we? A lot of clubs come and being transparent after the fans had jumped on their back. So are you going with Villa for best January transfer as well?
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, is it January?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think Villa.
Okay.
You could say Villa or Newcastle.
I thought you meant as in across this.
No,
season.
We're talking January. Who signed? Isn't it interesting?
Newcastle
one.
Could potentially be up there.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
Especially before we move on from Newcastle, actually, if you were a Premier League footballer and they came to you and were like, we're going to offer you an amazing salary, but they're... Let's be honest, they might be getting relegated. Like they're facing a relegation battle. What would you do morally?
It depends if I'm a fringe player or if I'm playing first team football. If I was
let's just say you are a first team footballer for AC Milan.
I'm staying at AC Milan.
All right, but your dream has always been to play Premier League football then. Let's see.
But you might not play Premier League football in 6 months' time if you move to Newcastle. Because they might
just
be getting relegated.
The question.
But if I was, say, Dele Alli, who's not really getting into the Spurs side, and he sort of needs a kickstart again for his career, I think moving to the likes of Newcastle, taking that risk, he's going to be playing first team football every week. And he'll let's face it, he'll get a good wage as well.
But then, would you not worry then that obviously everyone's going to know that you've moved for money?
I don't think a lot of footballers really care these days.
No, like, I know. Insigne went to literally MLS just to
exactly.
Collect
like, I think if you do a good job and you start scoring goals, I don't think the fans will care.
That's a slogan right there. We're going to strapline that.
Football
101. If you do a good job and you start scoring goals, the fans don't care.
I think it's true.
No, that's pitch such.
But if you start doing shit, you go, money bags, you've moved for money. But if Dele Alli goes to Newcastle and starts banging in goals and assists, hero.
Yeah. Well, fans start creating their own agenda depending on how well you play, don't
exactly.
they?
Exactly. So. Who do you think has signed the best...
Well, but who do you think? We asked...
Oh, Villa. I think Villa.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think in agreement.
Gerard bringing in Coutinho.
Of course.
And Lucadinho. Lies quality. And yeah. And I saw... I don't know where they come from, but they might be getting like Suarez. They're trying to get Suarez.
They are trying to get Suarez. Yeah.
No, so Gerard's bringing the band back together. Literally. Who do you think...
sorry to interject. Have you seen the... Twitter videos and the TikToks of Liverpool fans being like, Steven Gerrard's ice cold, and all he does is walk to the tunnel.
I saw him smiling at United fans after you got that.
No, there's really outrageous TikToks with like dubstep music, and it's just Steven Gerrard with a filter on walking down the side of the pitch, and Liverpool fans are gassing over it, and I'm like, he's not doing anything.
Yeah, he's CG.
Yeah, exactly, he's but that's all it is.
Ice in his veins.
I just find it funny. I'll show you them after this.
William Hill also asked, who has signed the best budget player? Without being rude to any player, yeah, but like, someone on the cheap, yeah.
Brutal.
Budget.
Yeah.
In January?
Yeah.
Oh, in January, okay.
Mm. Who's gone on the cheap? I went to have to take loans out here as well, because obviously...
I think Trippier's pretty cheap. 12 million for La Liga winning right back.
La Liga winning right back, yeah. That's a good shout.
Yeah, that is actually.
I don't.
Maitland-Niles went on light eyes online. Yeah, sorry.
Well, that's cheap. You only got to pay his wages.
Yeah, I know. Literally. So you say Kieran Trippier. I suppose I can't.
But the problem is,
I was going to say the same as you.
But there haven't been that many. There's been a lot of rumours.
I don't
but
think.
But it's always towards the end of January.
Yeah, this, I was thinking this the other day. I was like, I haven't really heard loads about transfers.
I think deadline day might be a big one this
year.
Yeah. This January.
But I think with the summer transfer window, there was a lot of big moves. So it was, everyone was talking about it. But this is a little bit different.
Yeah, I agree. But I say KT is a good signing. Like 12 million for, as you said, La Liga winning right back.
Mm.
What more could you ask for? To go to a relegation side, Newcastle.
Yep.
Well, you could say has he gone for the money? Kieran Trippier.
Or does he I don't know how much he's getting paid to.
Or does he want to play Premier League football? Oh, he'll be on big bucks. Of course he will be.
I don't know. Is he?
I don't know. We have to ask
Kieran.
Kieran, should we tweet him? Hi, yeah, Kieran. Just wondering what wage you're on.
Might be playing in the Championship next year.
He'll post it like, you remember when Tevez posted his wage?
No.
Do you never remember that?
No.
There was a photo that came out of like a Carlos Tevez wage slip.
It was like
533,000 just in the top corner for the week.
And then it wasn't everyone talking about how much like tax.
Oh, the tax
stuff.
Like,
it was the tax.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's obviously a wage slip, right? So it has all the information on it. Everyone's like,
I remember Loftus-Cheek's bank got exposed.
Yes.
How does this happen?
His Lloyd's bank. How has that happened?
How does that happen?
I don't know.
Yeah, like 9 million quid or something.
Footballers being footballers.
They go, who'd be a good budget player for your club? It's obviously City for you. Like, do City need anyone?
Sorry.
They don't sign anyone on the budget, do they?
You're linked with Alvarez.
Who?
Yeah, I've been seeing
you
this.
Should know him. You play so much FIFA. The River Plate striker.
I don't play River Plate players, mate.
Google Alvarez and you'll
know
who
he is. With City, I always say there's so much depth in the squad, and that's a credit to Pep, I think, because he is very calculated and trains them all up. So like if someone's injured or someone's away for whatever reason, they can all step in.
Yeah.
And there's always this talk about, City need a striker. Do we though? Because we just had the best year in Premier League history, am I right? We've got the most amount of wins in a calendar year.
So it's kind of like...
So in terms of transfers, I'm not really
But I don't know,
sure.
I feel...
But obviously, he's a 5'6", 5'7", Argentinian.
He's just Aguero times two.
Basically.
I do feel like City, like... When you're on top, that's when you buy a player. You build when you're on top, so you stay on top. So if they could get a striker, they could even go to another level if that's even possible.
I wouldn't be too sure that's the case though, because I think Pep builds a system, and he buys players to fill in positions of that system.
Okay.
For the same reason that now they don't necessarily need a recognised number nine.
Yeah.
Because they score goals from literally
anywhere.
They're
playing like Spain World Cup winning team.
Yeah.
They share it out as well. Yeah. The goals are, if you look at the breakdown, the goals are shared between a squad. Mm. So like with Liverpool, for example, Salah's obviously dominating.
Yeah.
But with City, there's not a particular high scorer because anyone scores. But yeah, I don't know about this transfer window. Maybe they're just waiting for the right person.
I think
person.
Alvarez would be a really good sign.
I think City did do a good deal going the other way, selling Ferran Torres to Barcelona.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, Ferran Torres was... He wouldn't play... Then he would play, he'd score a couple of goals, then he wouldn't play. Like, it was a bit.
Yes, he's quite injury prone, though, isn't he?
That he's a young player, I think, going to Barcelona, going back to Spain. And I think he scored in his debut for Barcelona, actually, Ferran Torres.
Did he?
Yeah, because he could play number nine as well, couldn't he? He could play across the front three.
But it was like, it was the pretty much identical to how Jesus has developed over time, right? Been purchased as a number nine and then just gets put where he has to. And now he's like a right winger.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Okay, what about for us, Arsenal budget player? Obviously, we want Vlahovic.
Yeah, Vlahovic for 66.6 million.
Yeah. That's not really a budget player, though.
But is that what the thing was?
Who would be a good budget player for your club?
Oh, is that what that was the question?
For Arsenal.
I don't know. When were you looking at Arthur from Juventus?
Juventus?
Yeah.
I think he'd go for like a 20, 25 million kind of.
I don't think it was that much, though.
Really?
Yeah, it was like somewhere in the region of 10,
I do feel
10
like
to 15.
We do need a DM.
Yeah, or just...
Like Xhaka gets set off so many times.
Not even a DM, though. Just like a creative, deep-lying...
Give us John McGinn.
That would be ideal. Yeah. That would be really good. He's linked with United now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Yeah, Arthur for 10 mil.
That,
if
you know what,
if
that,
we can pay that.
In 2022, 10 mil, I'd say, is a budget player, isn't it? Like, Arthur.
Yeah. In world football, anything under, like, 20 million...
It's now budget football.
Pretty
Didn't
much.
Arsenal spend a lot last
We were
summer.
The highest spenders.
150
million. I remember
million.
That. And then everyone was, like at the beginning of the season, you didn't start well. So everyone was like, oh, haha,
but
they
now
spent
we're...
all this money. Yeah, those some of the, who's in goal for you?
Ramsdale.
Wasn't he one of the summer transfers?
Yeah. 38 mil, I think, 40 mil.
What a sign.
I think that's one of the, you're talking, like at the time of the summer, everyone was talking about, oh my God, Ronaldo and Lukaku. Mm. I think he's one of the key signings from last summer.
I think that's signing
for sure.
of the summer.
He was Jamie Carragher's signing of the season, wasn't
Jamie Carragher's, you know when they did, they had to pick a player like most improved or the stand-up player for the season. If you look at Jamie Carragher's selection for everything, it's like spot on. If you look at Gary Neville's, it's just completely awful. It's quite funny. But one player, this is probably better for City as well. One player you wish your club would sign. Unlimited transfer.
Everyone wanted Harry Kane last summer.
That's what I was going to say.
But I don't... So one thing I've seen people who aren't City fans comment on my Twitter is they're like, oh, it's so boring now. You always win the league. Like, you're making the league boring. And as much as I would like to see Harry Kane...
I disagree
because,
it's great to watch.
It's a great level of football. If Harry Kane did go to City, it's kind of like, well, okay.
Cheat code.
Is it making the league boring in that sense? I kind of... As much as I would want him to come, because he's an amazing player, I would kind of maybe like to see him go somewhere else and make a massive impact at that club. I do think he wants to move, and he will move eventually.
So who's your choice if it's not Harry Kane?
It's got to be a striker of some sort.
Yeah, it's on my voice.
Your voice cracks.
So why are you laughing? You know my voice does it all the time.
It's never done it on here.
No,
before.
To be fair, before we started recording, he said, "You got a sore throat."
I do.
So that's probably why.
I'm laughing because
I didn't have
first time anyone's seen it.
I didn't have a voice 2 days ago, so it's come back.
Blame the Dubai aircon.
Yeah, Dubai aircon's ruined me.
So not Harry Kane.
No, I'm going to say Harry Kane.
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Oh, she's copping out.
I'm not copping out, but okay. I just think
that is like the one transfer
for someone
City
to join the team because I think with City, because of the way that they play, they're a very team-based team. There's not like a superstar. Well, obviously there's incredible players there, but because there's so many incredible players, it's not like there's one person.
It's like
there's
a collection of superstars,
isn't
it?
It's a collection of superstars that play together. So it's like, it'd be nice for Harry Kane to come. Yeah. Or like when Grealish came, some people are arguing like he's not been playing great. Yeah. But I just think he's adjusting because he's used to being like the main guy.
That's what I was just about to ask you. Yeah. Do you think that Grealish is no longer playing like Aston Villa Grealish because he kind of just has to fill the role of what Pep's asking now?
I think it's a transition period because I interviewed him for the Premier League, I mentioned earlier, and from what I gathered from what he was saying is he's just moved there. You're learning like a new way of playing. And also you want to impress everyone. There's so many amazing players at that team. You want to impress everyone and make an impact. So I think this season is this season of learning how City works. And next season he's going to come back and be...
He's gone from being a big fish in a small pond to...
I was going
to
say
it's got to adjust to another pond, hasn't it?
He's gone from being the main man to just one of the men.
Yeah.
And for Arsenal?
Vlahovic.
He's our boy.
I really...
You know what? If I had unlimited budget...
I've been sat for days watching Vlahovic goals and skills compilations on YouTube. I cannot get enough of this guy.
The question for William Hill go, one player you wish your club would sign? I would say Haaland.
Well, yeah. I mean, that... Yeah. Well, is that just anything?
Yeah. I'm going Haaland at Arsenal.
For some reason, in my mind, I just see him going to Chelsea.
Yeah, he's such a Chelsea signing, isn't he? Mm. He's just...
They're
going to sell Lukaku.
Get Haaland. Do you remember when we were watching Chelsea on stream and I said this? And then you and Cal were like, nah, man, they've already got Lukaku. Why would you buy...
Yeah, I was when Lukaku was doing all right.
Yeah, it's true. He's now
gone against the club.
Where does he want to go?
Man City, I think.
Well, did he do that interview and said he wanted to go somewhere else?
Did he?
Well, he's a Leeds fan, isn't he? So I think the rumour was he was going to go or linked with Manchester United, and he was like, no, I'll never go there.
Because of Leeds.
And I want to go Man City. But would you have him there?
Are we talking about Haaland or Lukaku? No, I was talking about Lukaku when he said he wanted to go somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, back to Inter, yeah.
Sorry, yeah, we're talking about Erling Haaland.
Oh. If he wants to go Inter, go on then and get Haaland in.
Yeah, literally. Lukaku...
Chelsea?
Yeah, this is for Chelsea.
Okay,
yeah.
But I'm talking about for Manchester City, would you have Erling Haaland? Because he said he wants to go there.
Yeah.
All right.
Why do you not have one of the best strikers in the world?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Biggest transfer gamble of the season. Who's been a gamble?
Transfer gamble? Not January then?
Of the season,
Of the season.
Because Coutinho's a gamble.
No, it's just a loan. It's not a gamble.
But I still think it's a gamble. You've got to pay some of his
wages. Have United done any gambles? I just think that on paper at the beginning of the season, it was looking good for them.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's not gone so well.
Their squad on paper was a joke at the start of the season, wasn't it? And it's just gone downhill. Do you think I keep just talking about Dele Alli, but if he gets signed by Newcastle, that is a gamble.
No.
No?
I don't think any purchase that Newcastle make is a gamble.
Chris Wood.
That's not a gamble.
Okay.
He's scored 10 plus goals for the last four seasons.
Okay.
I guess it's a gamble more for the players moving there.
Yeah.
You ready to face potential relegation
for
a season? Oh, so you're talking about from the perspective of a footballer going.
It's exactly what I was talking about, yeah.
Oh, so not...
No, I wasn't talking the other way around.
Not from
who do you think's gone? Who's been a gamble then?
£100 million on Romelu Lukaku is a bit of a gamble.
That is actually a really good shout.
Considering he's not really been that great in the Premier League for the past few seasons.
But he did smash it for Inter.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's £100 million, though. That's quite a lot of money to be playing with.
Okay. Could you say any of the Arsenal signings were a gamble when a majority of them weren't proven? Apart from
Ramsdale was a gamble.
Yeah.
Do you think?
We had a number one keeper. We purchased a £40 million second playing keeper, and now he's like the best goalie in the league.
Well, Tomiyasu was a gamble. He was not... People didn't know if he was a right back or a centre back in Serie A.
Yeah. I think he does both really well.
Lokonga.
Yeah.
Gamble. I think the majority of Arsenal.
They're just
young players. Like, I think you take a gamble on a lot of young players because you never know if they're going to prosper or not.
Yeah.
But finally.
Ronaldo. That's a gamble.
No.
Well, if it is.
No.
All right, fine.
Ronaldo's not a gamble. Well, you can say he's a gamble now because he's not performing like his previous standards, but if you're signing Ronaldo from Juventus, you're going, that's not a gamble. He's Cristiano Ronaldo. The bargain transfer that could improve your team.
What? We did that.
No, it's a budget player. This is a bargain transfer that could improve your team. Slightly different.
So is this
Erling
Haaland
for £10
million?
Yeah, potential signing.
A bargain.
A potential bargain you could see yourself snapping up. It's always quite hard with City, though, isn't it? Because, like, they don't really get a bargain.
I don't think... Yeah, I don't
City
think
tax.
They would get a bargain.
Yeah. Who would you go for? Like, City... I feel like City just get... If you're getting sold to City, they're going to slap on an extra 10-15% because they know City will pay it.
Yeah. And I feel like with the squad that they have, where they would fill it, they'd probably have to buy an expensive player.
Yeah.
Is it for our club?
Yeah, so Arsenal for us.
I was going to say, Rafinha for Liverpool would have been in.
Rafinha to Liverpool would be huge.
That'd be a pretty good bargain, wouldn't it?
Well, I feel like Liverpool do need a attacking player to cover them if, for example, like Mane and Salah.
Youri Tielemans for £30 million or less. That would be a bargain.
You're such a big fan of him, aren't you?
I love him, man. He's so good.
But yeah, shout out to William Hill for sponsoring that portion of the podcast. Be sure to check out William Hill in the description, where you can find all odds for transfer talk and signings.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Yeah, love
nailed,
that.
Nailed that one.
So now that we've covered that, I just want to go back to the World Cup. You got any plans to be involved?
Yeah, I think I would, if they were doing the box park stuff again, I would jump on the chance.
Oh, I mean, go across.
I'll just see what happens. I don't know what the situation is with like Qatar and stuff like that. So I'll just see what happens. If I got the opportunity, it would be good to say that. But also, I think the atmosphere back here is going to be really fun. And I think I would like to be involved with that somehow.
Obviously, you've interviewed a lot of players, obviously named a few earlier. Who's been your favourite interview? Who have you had most fun with, got on well with?
Grealish.
Yeah.
I think he's, you know, one of those people that you imagine is going to be really nice. And just like, as we said earlier with Mason and Declan, just normal guys.
Yeah.
He is just like that. And it felt like I was talking to a friend. And you could just ask them one question and they'll just give you like a 10-minute answer. And those are the best interviews because you don't have to do much work.
Right? That was.
Yeah, that was at the City training ground. Yeah. I've actually interviewed him twice. The first time was for Match of the Day X and it was at a Call of Duty shoot.
Was he in Villa at that point?
Yeah, he was still at, this is last season, so he was still at Villa. And then the next one, so I've interviewed him at two different clubs now. So I've seen the transition, which was really cool. Ruben Dias, I think, even though the Wi-Fi was not very good, I just learned a lot. He blew me away. Like I went into it thinking, oh, he's playing really well this season, good signing for City, but I didn't expect him to talk the way he did and like have so much knowledge of the game and things like that. So he really, really impressed me. Who else? I've done quite a few.
Is there anyone that you haven't interviewed that you would like to?
Who do I like at City at the moment? Kevin De Bruyne, I think, would be really interesting.
I've seen a clips of him, and he seems really, really like, he seems like a funny, nice guy, and really down to earth. I feel like he'd be really fun to interview.
Very interesting, I think, to interview. Bernardo Silva I interviewed, he was really funny, and the BBC got me to ask him a question about, like, because he loves pancakes.
What?
genuinely loves pancakes, right? So one of the game that we play is, like, I give them three options and they pick one answer. So it was, like, toppings of pancakes. So I did that and I thought nothing of it because I'm just thinking nothing of it. Then the teaser clip goes out on Twitter or YouTube or whatever and it's, like, Els the Witch asks Bernardo Silva what his favourite pancakes are and I was just, like, they've stitched me up here.
What did he say?
I think he puts strawberries and chocolate in it. Oh no, the mixture of the pancake has got chocolate in it, so it's like a chocolate flavored pancake.
He is a pancake connoisseur
and he still has his Christmas tree up, so he'd had his Christmas tree up for like 2 years or something. He was like, his mum came over and put it up and he was like, oh, I quite like it, so I just never took it down.
Always Christmas.
My Christmas tree, I took off the decorations like 2 weeks ago and it's like the tree's still there.
Oh, no.
And now it's just in the middle of my living room.
Is it
room.
A real one?
Yeah. So the whole floor is covered in like the needles.
It's like a dead tree.
It looks dead.
Does it not stink?
No.
Don't they smell after a while?
They smell after a while.
Oh, really? I'm just accustomed to
Has
it.
Has anyone
now.
Been round?
No.
Okay.
So I don't know. I could just be living in a sty. But it's just in the middle of my. I moved it and it's just now stuck in the middle of the living room.
It's not stuck. You just choose to have it there.
Well, I got to put it in the car and then the car's going to get covered in the
Do you needle. Not have like a tip nearby where you live? Or like, not a tip, but I mean like
I
place to dispose of.
A chute, but a Christmas tree doesn't fit.
Do you know what's funny? Funny we're talking about this actually. That where I live, which is like quite a busy road in Shoreditch, people after Christmas just started dumping their trees outside. So all of the pavement was just full of Christmas trees.
Yeah. Is that legal?
I don't know. They're just obviously expecting the bin men to clean it up for them, but there was on one day of the week there was about 14 Christmas trees lining the pavement of
poor trees.
Save
the trees.
Yeah, that's where you get a plastic one.
I've got a white plastic one. It's got the lights already installed.
Oh,
cool.
That's nice.
I felt like your R was judgmental.
No, because I've got two plastic ones.
But you chose to get a real one.
But it's this sounds.
I got
a plastic one in the hallway, so when you walk in, you say, look at this nice one. Then I got a plastic one in the backdrop of my videos, and I thought, you know what, this year I'm going to get a real tree because it reminds me of being at home.
No, I like that though. Yeah. It's a nice smell.
Yeah, it smells. It was really nice coming in. Why are you laughing?
Nah, just you being cute.
It was cute. So what plans you got coming up this year? Obviously, the World Cup at the end of the year. Got anything
World
going
Cup,
on the next few months?
Women's Euros, and I'm an ambassador with UEFA for the Women's Euros. So I'm going to be getting involved in that, hopefully.
Are they in England?
Yeah, so it's all across. Yeah. So there's nine cities across the UK are going to be hosting, and then the finals, obviously, at Wembley.
Does it echo the same hosting countries that the men's Euros do?
Are they drawn individually? No.
Well, like, but I mean, even the men's Euros, which is like most of it was Wembley.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
I'm not actually sure. I would have to check, but no, it's definitely all in the UK. And it's not just the big. It's not the big cities either, like London, Manchester. Mm. There's some like smaller places that are hosting the games as well, so that should be good.
In Premier League stadiums, I'm presuming, or like
maybe even a few that aren't in Premier League stadiums, but I'm not sure. I need to actually check.
Because the women's ground is insane, isn't it? Have you seen that?
Well, the
city setup's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's mad. They have the Etihad, and then they literally were like, we don't want to build one out of Manchester. Let's just build it across the road. So there's a big bridge, and you just go across the road to the training facility, and there's two big pitches where they can play.
I thought I was in the Etihad. I was like, oh my, it's a lot smaller than I actually genuinely thought.
Really?
Yeah, because I went with Rebel, and I'd never been to the Man City ground before, the new one anyway, the Etihad. And we went in there, and I was like, what? Is this it? It's not as big as I thought, but it's like a miniature Etihad for the women's pitch.
Bloody hell.
And then there's obviously a bigger Etihad.
The academy team play there as well.
Yeah. Do they?
Okay. Yes. So when I was doing the Chelsea game a couple of weeks ago, it was like City's Super Saturday, because they had the under-18s playing, the women playing, the first team, and then the academy playing in the evening. Wow. All four teams, and all four won. So it was like,
shock.
Of course.
Yeah.
Was the opposite. I remember watching, I put on TV a couple weeks ago, it's Arsenal women versus Birmingham women. Mm-hmm. And it's just Arsenal being Arsenal. Like, Arsenal, obviously, top of the league. Like, the most goals scored in the league. Mm-hmm. Birmingham were bottom of the league. Least goals scored.
What happened?
Well, Arsenal lost 2-0.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we went, where it's basically written that you should win.
But it's Arsenal. But it doesn't matter what Arsenal team it is, Arsenal always do Arsenal things. We went 1-0 down. We went 1-0 down inside 4 minutes.
Oh, no.
I was like, I've just tuned into another Arsenal game. Like, it's brilliant. So, every week, we have a quiz.
Okay.
And behind you on the board there are the scores. It's out of five. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Joel got a new record of 4.
Yeah.
Okay, all I can see is Kyle Freese is on 1, and that makes me feel better. Yeah.
That is like the benchmark that a lot of people
quiz?
Turn around
it's a football
to see.
Quiz.
Because, okay, can I just get my disclaimers out first then? As I said earlier, I mentioned I'm like 2 to 3 years in my knowledge career.
That's
so
fine.
If I don't know them, don't hate me in the comments.
It is what
like
it
I'm
is.
I'm still learning.
And Jamie over here does the quiz. I used to do it, but then I actually found it actually more fun taking part in the quiz.
So we're all up against each other.
We're all going to be doing it. And don't do what you always do and shout out the answers before.
Do we have a buzzer noise?
You can do if you want.
It's not against the clock.
I'm going to be so quiet in this quiz.
Like last
and
week,
forward.
Hugo was thinking, someone was thinking of an answer and he just shouts out the correct answer.
I can't help that.
Zip it, boy.
Okay.
Right, question number one. Obviously, if you're playing along at home, don't cheat. Because it's very easy to cheat if you're playing online. You just Google the answers.
Wait, what? That's what people do?
Yeah, sometimes. But I think the majority of people play it. The majority of them play it normally. Anyways, whatever. Question number one. Who wore the number 16 shirt for Man City in the 2011-2012 season?
Oh, no. So this is where...
That's 10 years ago, Jamie.
But that was
that was
Aguera,
the season.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah, it was.
With Mancini running down the line.
Oh, I got a shout, but I'm going to save it.
Wait, so you wouldn't have known that if we hadn't have said that what year it was?
No.
Okay.
Number 16.
Because I'm guessing it's someone famous from that team.
I think I know who you're thinking of, but I don't know if that...
I got two names. Well,
I'm not. I was too scared to even say the wrong name, so...
I got two... The first two names...
Were you at uni at that point?
Yeah, I was there. I was in my second year of uni, and I remember I was revising because I had my one of my exams anyway for my second year the next day. And then I was living in a house. There were 6 girls living in one house. We put it on the TV because it was like when there was a Manchester derby, like you would stay away from the city centre because it's just like lots of football fans. So we knew it was on, so we're like, we're not going to go out and watch it, we'll watch it at home. And I remember watching it and thinking, if I didn't have my exam tomorrow, I'd be out, like I'd go out in the centre. Because they would generally say like, stay away from the centre.
But it was kind of, it was like a juxtaposed time to be there, wasn't it? Because obviously Man United had just lost by a point and Man City had just
won. Man United thought they'd won.
That's what I mean, yeah.
They won the league, but I mean,
2 minutes.
How peak is that, by the way?
Yeah, United fans coming back to the city centre and then city fans...
Imagine them, they're all celebrating because they think they won.
Yeah.
And then someone's like, did you know, like, they just scored an extra time.
You just lost.
We'll never see that ever again, I don't think.
I think that's one of my favourite moments.
Even as a non-Man City fan.
I was going to ask you, like, what... But, I mean, it kind of makes sense being a City fan, and yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, number 16. So, I think it's either Aguero...
What?
Yep. Before his number... Yep. I know. Don't last time he did this...
This is why I haven't answered, because I don't want to say a big name.
He laughed at me for saying El Beetle was George Best.
No, but that's an understanding. Yeah, no. I mean, that's a theoretical knowledge.
I think it's either Aguero or Balotelli.
Okay. One of those answers is who I was going to say.
So I had McDonald's with Balotelli once by accident. What? So I will tell you my story. So I was in my first year of uni. Wasn't really keeping up with football at this point because I was too busy being a fresher, like going out.
Yeah.
And me and my mate were near the campus and we just went to McDonald's because we were on a break or whatever. And these two guys came up to us whilst we were ordering. They're like, do you want to sit with us? And we're like, okay, it's a bit weird, but yeah, it's fine. whatever, YOLO. So we went and sat, and his friend was really talkative, but he didn't really talk much. I don't think his English was great. And then people kept coming over and trying to take a photo, and his friend would be like, stop, like getting actually angry, like stop asking for photos. And me and my friend were like, that's a bit weird. Like,
let him eat his chicken nuggets.
Yeah, just let him eat his food. And we were like, okay, we didn't ask. Like, I didn't think to ask because I didn't want to be rude. Yeah. And maybe just if it is someone important, like I didn't want to be rude that I didn't know who he was. So anyway, we sat down with them and then we all got on, it was fine. Then I was on the bus home and there was newspapers like the Metro, or I can't remember the one they have in Manchester, picked up the newspaper and unfolded it, and he's on the front cover because at this time was when he was getting all the parking fines because he would literally just park wherever he wanted in Manchester.
Classic Balotelli.
And you know when there was also another story that he'd let off a firework from his bathroom?
This was around that
time. So he was just all over the press. So I opened it and I was just like, that's who I just ate McDonald's with. And then it all clicked and I was just like, that's why everyone was trying to get photos with him.
Oh,
so yeah, I just had McDonald's with Balotelli but didn't realise.
Is he number 16?
I don't know.
Oh.
Right, should we go over
it? I'm
too scared to answer because I literally don't want to get it wrong and say a legend like you just did and it potentially be wrong.
I think Aguero is really like sacrilegious at this point.
I'm backing Aguero.
So. I don't...
Theo's views are his
own. Okay, I really want to say Balotelli, but I think it might be someone like Fernandinho. Balotelli.
And Els?
I'm going to say Balotelli as well.
And the correct answer is? You are so dead to me. You are so dead to me. See, I know ball. Ball knowledge baker, they call me. Fuck, you know what? Fuck you.
Do you know what?
That's twice.
You know, this is very backfired as well, because it's like, well, you should know what number Aguero was in that season. Yeah. Oh, God.
Wait, did he
score that goal? Great, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to get cancelled now.
No, you're not, it's fine. We both said Balotelli.
Well, now, I'm going to know that.
No, is it future
forever, because you know, I always thought...
If Theo starts getting 4 out of 5, like, a lot of the time, we're going to have to do some vetting.
No,
he's
not Googling these beforehand. You have the answers on your phone.
I don't.
No, but you have the questions.
Yeah, you do have
so
the questions.
So what's stopping you...
That's what I'm
from
saying.
...from before we press record, going on Google?
Because he sent them... well, you've got them on your phone.
Well, I don't look at them.
Oh, shut up. Anyways, that's going on TikTok. Yeah, back me up here, Jamie, please. Thank you. And the El Beetle. Yes, there's 2 weeks in a row you've laughed in my face that my answer was stupid and I got it correct both times.
No, I was surprised
that's
Aguero.
A message for life. It's like people can laugh in your face.
Yeah.
But stick to your guns.
Yeah.
And you still get it right.
I didn't laugh this time.
Yes, you did.
I just surprised yes, you. No.
You did.
Did I laugh?
You did.
No, he said no.
Question,
said
you
no,
did laugh. You laughed. There's literally cameras pointing at your face.
What?
Question number 2. Rank these transfers in order of highest fee to lowest fee. So who's the most expensive
okay.
to the thing? Torres to Chelsea, Fernando Torres to Chelsea.
Mm.
Kevin De Bruyne to Man City. Andy Carroll to Liverpool.
Ooh.
Lewandowski to Bayern Munich. And Rodri to Man City.
We have to rank them.
So that's quite a lot of players there.
That's there's a lot of variables to get this wrong or right.
So I think
I think the most expensive one there is Andy Carroll to Liverpool.
Really?
35 million.
I think Torres was 50 to Chelsea.
Really?
Yeah.
How pretty much sure. Lewandowski though?
I think he's cheap. I think he might have gone for a free. I think Lewandowski would have gone for a free from Bayern.
And what about KDB then?
I think KDB would be really cheap.
He was from Wolfsburg, right?
Yeah. So okay, I'm
the
just going
bargain. That's what we mean by bargain transfer.
I think it might be. How much was Rodri? Do you know?
No clue. I'm going to go. I'm just going
to
throw it out there.
I'm tempted to say Rodri might be top and just be like 61 million or something, and everyone's just forgot about him because he's that good.
I'm going to go with Torres.
Wait, you.
Rodri. Andy Carroll. Kevin De Bruyne. Lewandowski.
I think.
This is. So you know the players.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go. In order of highest to lowest, I'm going to go Torres. Oh no, should I say Rodri first?
Go on, be different.
All right, I'm going to say Rodri, Torres, Carroll, De Bruyne, Lewandowski. So I think it's one of those that everyone goes, oh, it probably wasn't that expensive. But then when you look back, it's like 55 mil or something.
Mm.
But they did buy left backs to right backs for 50 mil each. So it doesn't surprise
Torres
me.
Torres to I'm going to say Rodri as well.
Oh no.
You swayed me.
I don't know.
None of us know the answer.
Yeah. Nobody knows.
So Rodri to Man City, then Andy Carroll to Liverpool, then Torres.
Oh, I'm so close.
Then I'm gonna do Lewandowski, then KDB.
Okay.
Can I get confirmation of what Torres was afterwards?
Let's have the answer, Jamie. Hit us with number one most expensive.
Yes, Rodri.
Rodri
to City.
I've got it here.
We should have
Rodri, 62.8 million. Kevin De Bruyne, 55 mil.
Wait, where's the answers?
I've got it here. This just went through. Oh. Kevin De Bruyne, 55. Torres, 50.
Yeah.
Andy Carroll, 35. Got that one. And Lewandowski was free. So we were actually really close.
We were close, but what I think we should have known, because we actually discussed this earlier, is City have budget to buy players. Probably should have known that they were going to fork out money.
I didn't know they paid 55 million for KDB.
Probably worth it though.
Yeah, easily. Like, that's a bargain.
Yeah, imagine 55 million is a bargain.
Imagine trying to buy KDB now.
Oh.
How much do you think he'd go for?
You know what?
Because he's quite old.
I say he'd probably go for about 50 mil.
Yeah, similar.
Yeah, price. I was going to say 100 mil, but he's getting on.
Yeah.
Well, he's not, but you know, in terms
how
of football,
old is he
cut back in 31.
29?
No, but either way, we got you guys are on one.
We didn't get that. We were one off.
Both on
that's
zero.
That's a hard question, Jamie.
That is tough.
KDB's 30.
30. So you're both on 0 out of 2, and I'm on 1 out of 2.
Okay.
I'm winning. Question number 3: true or false? Bayern Leverkusen defender Julian Wirtz is the older sister of another professional footballer in a men's team. She's called Julianne Wirt. She plays for Bayern Leverkusen.
I'm going to say true.
I'm also going to say true.
Julianne Wirt. I thought...
I'm going to say true because there's a footballer called Florian Wirt
for Bayern Leverkusen. Yeah, I'll say true then as well.
I'll go true. The answer is true.
We're on the board.
What are the chances of that? Like you both play for Leverkusen. Brother and sister play for the same team.
Yeah.
Does that happen? Well, it happened with Arsenal, didn't it?
Wait, Reece James and
his sister plays for
Chelsea.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. What about Arsenal?
Wasn't it Elia Luko, and was it her cousin that played for Arsenal?
I don't know.
Anyways,
I'm on 2 out of 3. You guys are on 1 out of 3.
Well, I'm on the board. I'm at level with
Cal
and Ben Foster.
And she didn't know Torres was more expensive than Andy Carroll.
And Ben Foster's only answer correct was about his own YouTube channel. So
he just playing the
play. I interviewed Ben Foster actually for
he's
quality, isn't he?
And he's great. As soon as we finish, we're like, get him a job. Like he needs to be a host.
He's so good. He's ready for retirement already. Question number 4 is another true or false. Norwich City were founding members of the Premier League and finished in the top 4 of its inaugural season. So like his first season of the Prem, Norwich finished top four. True or false?
I don't think they were.
I'm going to say false, even though I'm from Norwich and I have no, I don't have any knowledge.
I'm also going to say, but I remember seeing a table and it was some random club finished like third. But I don't know if it was Norwich.
Wimbledon, maybe? Like
no, it was on, it was like, Everton. Oh, it's just so, I'm going to say false, but a part of me says true. But I'm sticking with a false. So false, false, and...
I already said false.
False, three falses. It is, bollocks! It was Norwich that I thought. See, I remember seeing the table.
How can you be... Do they have shares in the Premier League then, if you're a founder?
No, as in...
They were just there.
They were just there. Okay. Oh, that's so annoying, because I saw them. Did they finish third?
Stick with your guns.
They did finish third. Oh, I did.
Go with your gut, man.
Go with your gut.
Should have learned. Bollocks. That could have been my 4 out of 5.
Oh, yeah. You got 4 out of 5 last time. With Joel, didn't you?
So close. So I'm on 2. You guys are still on 1. Oh. But this is it. Okay. Fucking hell, Jamie. Question number 5 is always who am I?
Okay.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Okay, right. Well, here he is. Who am I? I was born in Buenos Aires in 1985. Capital of Argentina, if I'm correct. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So you're 36. I'm just trying to do calculations.
36.
Okay.
I have won all of English football's major honour. I have lifted the Premier League trophy twice. Outside of England, I've lifted the Copa del Rey, won a gold medal, and I won a gold medal in the Olympics in 2008. I'm considered a legend who is no stranger to the captain's armband at the club I spent 10 years at. But I finished my career at a London club. Because I was going to say Aguero.
I was going to say that as well, but it's
but
not.
But he didn't. He finished at Barcelona.
Damn it. He's everything finished, but the last line. I was Sergio Aguero.
So they can't have finished that long ago. Last year.
Can I read it?
Done it. I know who it is.
All right, well, reserve your things so we say it all at the same time.
Because obviously they're Argentinian. So
is it Chelsea club?
Well, I don't know. Read it out again.
I was born in Buenos Aires in 1985. I've won all of English football's major honours and I've lifted the Premier League trophy twice. Outside of England, I've only lifted the Copa del Rey and won a gold medal with my country at the 2008 Olympics. I'm considered a legend who is no stranger to the captain's armband at the club I spent almost 10 years at.
Got it.
But I finished my career at a London club.
I've got it. But I'm going to hold my answer.
He was born in Buenos Aires, but that doesn't necessarily make him Argentinian.
I think it's
though.
Chelsea.
Do you reckon? No, I know. I think I know who it is. But no, if you've said they're born in Buenos Aires,
they retired last year.
Yeah.
Oh, 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, I know who it is. Yeah, I've got it.
Retired at 34 at a London club.
The only issue about my answer is I think they might be older than 36. But I'm going to stick with my gut, and then I'm going to stick with my answer.
I don't know.
I don't even know.
Have you got an... Is it Argentinian that you're thinking of?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sorry, if you said they're born in the capital of Argentina and they're not Argentinian, that's rude.
That's what I'm saying. That could be a trick question.
Nah, man. Who won the Olympics in 2008?
Football?
Yep.
Do you know that?
Yep.
Do you?
No. But I have this weird vision of that. I think I know who it is.
Man, I'm just trying to think who retired 2 years ago.
Say, this is what I'm stuck on. I'm for a London club.
How many times won the Prem? Twice. Wait,
where did it say London club?
At the end. I finished my career at a London club.
Oh, yeah, it's back confirms what I said. Yeah. I know it is.
I don't know who it is.
Baker's ball knowledge is back.
I don't like it when he knows.
But it's obvious.
No, it's not.
It is obvious.
Which London club?
No, because that will give it away. They finished their career at West Ham.
What?
Yep.
Oh, now I know.
I don't know.
The answer
is...
Wait, hang on. So are you going...
I don't know.
I don't know, I think.
Were you going to say him?
We'll say 3-2-1 and then say his surname at the same time. 3-2-1.
Zabaleta.
Okay, right, fine.
The answer is... There you go.
Mate.
And I gave you that answer.
You did.
That doesn't count that you got it. You actually got 1 out of 5.
I am like...
What do you mean?
Guys... Because I know as soon as I open my mouth, it's going to seem like I was going to say that. But I was thinking, because when I was working at Adidas that time, the person in the office, their favourite player was Pablo Zabaleta.
We'll give you the answer. Well done. There you go. What, Scotty Wright?
No, because I'm not even accepting the point because it's going to look like I was going to say. But the only person in my head was that, and I was like, surely it's not going to be
this
that.
This is how we think differently, by the way. Annoying. Because I didn't even process that West Ham was a London club. And then you went West Ham. I was like, oh, now I know.
But
I was thinking of Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs.
I thought, though, Reeve, you actually don't get that point because I told you the answer.
What do you mean?
Did he
win the Premier League then with
City?
City,
yeah.
Twice. But you don't get a point for that.
Why?
Because you wouldn't have said it if I didn't say West Ham.
That's true.
So therefore...
You can have half a point.
Yeah, okay. You get one and a half. All right. You get one and I get three.
I'm just on the board.
So once again... I am now proving the fact that I actually do know.
You thought Andy Carroll was more expensive than Torres?
Yeah, if you take into inflation.
No.
Inflation.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't argue with that kind of business and economic knowledge.
People are going to be so fuming at me that they think that... Because I get so much hate. That
no,
I don't
but know. Don't. Because if when you have me on your pod, I'll trust me.
out hate.
I just know we got the Aguero one wrong, so
oh
I'm
no, yeah, no,
that.
We just have to take the L for that.
Yeah,
I never even knew 16 at City. You know,
I'm pretty sure as well. The thing that the Olympics thing was, I'm pretty sure Messi got a gold medal at the Olympics. That's why. Yeah,
imagine.
I just there's clogs working in here somewhere.
Clogs.
Clogs, cogs.
He's got wooden clogs. Shoes in his head.
This dude tapped hard in that bed.
Well, I thought it was a Man City player because it's always...
That's why I thought Man City player. I was like, instantly, Zabaleta.
But I was like, London
Otamendi?
Klopp. No, I just didn't know. And then, obviously, you said West Ham. And I, for some reason, didn't even process that West Ham... It's Stratford Massive, isn't it?
I'm basically a West Ham fan now.
Yeah.
But
they weren't always a London club, were they? Like Upton Park wasn't really in London.
You all right?
Is it in Essex?
What are you talking about?
How far is Upton Park away?
West Ham or London
club? Stratford.
Yeah. What? Are you good?
Is it?
West Ham.
East Ham.
East Ham's on the Jubilee line. No, West Ham's on the Jubilee line.
No, but where their ground was only like 10.
Yeah, the Berlin ground.
From Stratford.
Yeah, like around the corner.
Is that right? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's not far.
No, I just thought it was.
You've just said West Ham aren't a London club.
No, I thought like, in like
club.
I think like central,
feel like
you London,
get
London.
The
yeah,
now.
Reeve, you are. Are you? Is everything okay?
I'm fine, mate.
Now, do we do predictions or not? Because there's predictions that the games are a long way away.
Yeah. Let's do it
next week. Right?
Wait, no. But have we not got some more questions?
Yeah.
Surely, funny football stories. You must have loads.
Funny football stories. Oh,
well, yeah, to do with footballers. Anything that
you. Well, the Balotelli one was pretty fucking
good. Yeah, sorry, I gave you my golden nugget there.
That was brilliant.
Oh, a nugget as well, because I'm McDonald's. Funny football. I don't actually have many. Because do you know what it is? Is now I'm do the presenting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I've got to be all professional. So I don't really get the funny stories anymore.
Well, you do have, obviously, your own podcast.
Yes, I do.
About game. What is your favourite game right now?
Right now. What have I been playing? I was playing the GTA trilogy. You know, they revamped Vice City, San Andreas, and GTA 3.
I didn't know that.
So when I went to Bangkok, I was on like an 18-hour flight, and I think I got through most of that.
Oh my God.
Vice City on the flight because I was not sleeping. So I've been playing that. But to be honest, recently I've not even been gaming that much.
Oh, really?
Just haven't had time. And because like... we've been outside more.
Mm.
I've been just going to football games. Like I was doing the City, obviously I've been going to there. I was at the Manchester Derby, like a few of the Champions League games before the end of the year. And I was at the Arsenal women's game, actually, the UEFA Champions League one, which was great. Supposed to go to Arsenal for the City game on New Year's Day. And then I got the Rona.
Funny you say that. We got invited to go and we both had COVID.
I tested positive on New Year's Day. My 2022 started. I woke up, done a test, and it was positive.
Oh, I tested New Year's Eve, so it's very different.
I tested on the 27th, so I knew that I was having a New Year lockdown.
I tested negative on New Year's Eve and then positive on New Year's Day.
I think
that's the best way to do it.
But to be honest,
what
was the point? Because I went out and I was like, what was the point of the night where it just switched? And I was just like, here, my
shirt. I know I contracted the virus on Boxing Day, and it took 3 days for me to like, show.
Yeah, I got mine. Mine was at Winter Wonderland because I went on the Tuesday and I was at the bar. You know them, that big bar. Yeah, and there was an ABBA tribute band and it was great.
Oh, that Bavarian bar.
Yeah.
It's still, Winter Wonderland's still open, you know.
Yeah,
what? It's still
start
going.
Of February, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who's going to Winter Wonderland?
I might go.
Is it not dead though? Isn't everyone doing dry Jan and stuff?
I'll go find out.
Are you doing that?
I've never done dry Jan.
I couldn't even. Everyone started doing dry October, or is it?
Sober October.
Sober September.
My birthday's in October, so I'm not doing that.
I didn't even bother. I was in it for like 2 days, and before October even began, I was like, I'm out. That reflects badly on me.
But you were the one that was opposed to having it. You were like, come on, guys, drink.
I turned Josh, you know, Chip.
Yeah.
He survived 5 days. No, 6 days.
Oh, it wasn't a lot. Yeah.
Every day I was texting him. Come on, lad. I was like, the devil in his ear. It's so bad.
Give up.
It's funny.
But there is
actually... Do you want to do fixtures?
Yeah, there's one game left of this game, which is Burnley-Watford. We won't touch that. It might not even go red. Like,
It's in 2 weeks' time, isn't it? So,
but game week 24 kicks off on the 8th of February. Now, we don't do scoreline predictions, but if you want to throw in a scoreline, you're more than welcome to, because...
Just looking. We've got Brentford. City have got Brentford. You'd hope it's a win. It's at home as well, so that helps.
So we'll start from the top, which is Tuesday the 8th. So we got West Ham are at home to Watford.
I'm going to go West Ham.
I'm going West Ham.
West Ham 4-1.
Ah, you're going to go score lines this time, are you?
You said if we wanted to.
Okay, fair enough. Yep. I think, so all three West Ham. Next game I think is a massive game, actually. Newcastle-Everton.
Oh, have they got any manager yet?
They got Duncan.
Big Dunk.
Yeah, they got Big Dunks at the helm.
Yeah.
They might have a manager by then, to be fair.
It's just caretakers. Yeah.
I'm going to go Newcastle win. Dele Alli to score the winner. Even though we don't actually know he's signed yet.
But that would look good. The transfer window will be shut then anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So you might know.
But this is my prediction. Newcastle will win that game and Dele Alli will score.
Wow.
And he doesn't even play for Newcastle at the time of recording this.
That's a bold call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Everton 2-1.
You think Everton?
Yeah.
Arguably the shittest team in the league. Against arguably
that,
the shittest team in the league.
They weren't that bad against Villa. They were pretty good.
I think
they lost to Norwich, right?
Yeah, I think they're so bad. I really, Everton are awful.
Did you watch the Villa game?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Such a liar.
So you're going Everton. I'm going Newcastle.
I'm
going
to go Everton.
Okay. No, that's fine. Burnley at home to United. Man United.
Ooh. Wait. Yeah, no.
Burnley are bottom of the league.
Yeah, but they have 5 games in hand, so...
But they are still bottom of the league.
Draw.
Really?
They drew against us.
They just lost one of their strikers, Burnley.
They drew against us. 0-0.
Yeah, but we're Arsenal. It doesn't count. I'm going to go for a United away win.
Yeah, I think United.
United?
They need to get some wins in.
They desperately start new points. Norwich are at home to Crystal Palace.
Palace 3-0.
Palace beat them quite recently as well, Norwich. So,
but yeah. Norwich are, you know, under Dean Smith, they are starting to slowly climb the table.
You know, have you seen they've got as many wins in the Premier League since November as Chelsea?
Really?
Yeah. That is a
that
fact.
Is, that
so
is
Chelsea are as shit as Norwich?
Yeah.
Confirmed.
I think it might have been before the Spurs game, but it was the same amount. Because Chelsea keep drawing games, don't they?
Yeah.
I'm going to actually say a draw between Norwich and Crystal Palace. Yeah, I'm going to go different.
I'm going to say Palace 2-1.
You usually go 2-1 as well.
3-0.
Okay, right. So two Palaces and one draw.
Very angry.
City, home to Brentford.
Oh! 6-0?
It's going to be a win. Let me check. What date is that? Am I working the day?
The 9th. Wednesday the 9th.
Live BT. I'm actually not, because I'm going to the Super Bowl that week.
Super Bowl?
Whoa!
Yeah, I'm going to LA.
Sorry. All right, for some...
But yeah, it's a win.
I'm going to go 5-0 City.
6-0 City.
Ooh.
I did say 6-0
City. 7-0 City.
Well, we did lead 7-0. That was a great game. Yeah, it's just a win. I don't know the scoreline, but it should be decent.
They should be Brentford, really, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
Spurs are at home to Southampton. All these games are live on BT. How cool is that? When's the not BT special? Actually, every single game is on BT.
Hmm.
We're not sponsored by BT or anything like that. But yeah, Spurs are at home to Southampton.
I reckon it's a draw.
That's a good call.
James Ward-Prowse free kick. He actually scores a free kick in that game, and Southampton win 2-1.
Okay.
I'm going Southampton away win.
Spurs 2-0. I think a draw. Son's back by then, isn't he?
Draw, Spurs, Southampton.
Yeah.
Villa are at home to Leeds.
Ooh.
4-1 Villa.
I think Villa win.
Yeah, just Leeds. They had a great season last season.
Yeah, they've been a bit bad this season.
Plagued by injuries, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate.
Well, they need to start buying players, Leeds. They have the same squad for like the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to have Villa and Coutinho to score. I know, I said it. Wolves are at home to Arsenal.
Oh, 0-0.
Really?
Yeah.
But we've signed Vlahovic by then.
That's a good point. If he plays, then we win. If he doesn't, 0-0.
I'm going to go Arsenal away win.
Yeah, I'm saying Arsenal. I owe Arsenal apologies because at the beginning of the season on Match of the Day, I was very mean.
What did you say?
I'm sure I said some stat like they're going to be
mid-table.
Said everything that we were listening to at the start of the year.
Yeah,
and now
I was the hater.
I was the shining light for Arsenal, and everyone laughed in my face. Saying, I said Arsenal
like
get
the
top.
The Aguero thing earlier.
Exactly. Yeah. But really, everything I say comes true. I said Arsenal get top four, and I got so much abuse for it.
We're not top four yet.
But we will get top four. and the final game is Liverpool versus Leicester. Liverpool at home. That's a big game, to be honest, that is.
When is that?
That is Wednesday.
Is AFCON over?
Thursday the 10th. So I think they are going to be back.
So will Salah be playing for
it
example?
Depends. It depends if Klopp gives them a week off or not.
If he gets to the final, unlikely he'll play, I'd say. But Leicester-Liverpool is a massive game.
4-2 yeah, the biggest one. Liverpool.
Six goals!
There's so many. Apart from the last game that they played with the King Power, there's always like at least five in that game.
Well, I'm not going to do a scoreline, but I'm going to say Liverpool home win.
Okay.
I'm going to say a draw, actually.
A draw? You know who's actually been scoring a lot of goals for Leicester recently? Daka.
Has he?
Yeah.
Scored one?
No, he scored a few.
When are the other ones?
He has, I promise you. He has.
Just Google out.
Yeah, no, he has.
Yeah.
Obviously, he scored.
Yeah, yeah, he scored. He scored against Brighton.
He scored against Spurs.
Yep.
He.
Just for that one time.
He scored against Spurs. And he's. That's it.
Yeah. You know this. Yeah.
Fair
yeah,
play,
yeah.
Yeah. Solid.
But he has been scoring two goals. And he might
he's
score.
He's in top four.
Theo,
he might score.
Theo as a pundit. Yeah, he scored loads.
He scored twice. He's got a high goal percentage.
What does that mean?
Game to goals, quite high.
Game to goals?
Yes. Yeah.
I can't argue with that.
Unlike Messi. Before we end, Messi or Ronaldo?
Well, I think I know the answer to her question. Well, sorry, her answer.
This is just, it's hard.
You've got to put your neck out.
I think that I would pick Messi.
That doesn't surprise me. She's a Man City fan, you know.
But it's not even that. I just think.
What do you mean?
I know, but you know what? It's so hard because Ronaldo's incredible. I think he's like what he's most followed on Instagram as well. Not that that matters at all, but like as a global brand, yeah. Ronaldo is massive.
He's yeah. the one.
But there's something about, like, I think Messi's more likeable to me, I guess. That's, I don't know.
That's fine. That makes a lot of sense.
It's very much a nature versus nurture. And you know what? I'm coming round the other side.
Which is nature versus nurture?
Messi is nature. Ronaldo is nurture.
What about growth hormones?
Why you got to bring growth hormones into it?
I'm just asking. It's not totally nature, is it?
No,
he was helped.
But I feel like Messi. Oh, why?
Because I'm asking if that never happened, would he still be Lionel Messi? Do you reckon?
Well, yeah, but did the growth hormones really affect him?
Because
he is still very small. He's five, like he is 5'6" or whatever, 5'8".
Yeah, he was open to come away like 6'5", wasn't he?
Well, whereas Ronaldo's like a 6 foot. Who?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways,
you should know that. Don't you have like
life-size
cutouts in your bedroom?
Yeah. Anyways, Els, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah,
thanks
amazing.
For having me.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Obviously, all your podcasts, all your links will be in the description down below. Make sure you go check them out. Reeve, anything else to add before we end off?
No, that was a really enjoyable episode.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one. Don't forget to rate us 5 stars on Spotify.
Yes.
And thanks to William Hill for obviously sponsoring this episode. Absolute legend. And with that being said, we'll see you all next week.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.